What's our menu look like for this week? Oh, okay. Fresh fish on Monday night, pork chops Tuesday, eating at the church on Wednesday night, shrimp and crab cakes on Thursday night, chicken or mutton on Friday night. On Saturday night, it's always pizza. And Sunday for lunch, yes, we're going to have green peppers stuffed with venison. What a great menu for the week. Well, that sounds really great. And, you know, thanks to Peter, we can eat it all. And that's where we're going today. God's message to Peter in a vision in Acts chapter 10. I'm going to read just a couple portions of this passage. It's actually verses 9 to 43, that's the entire passage. But I'm going to read just some portions of that. While the meal was being prepared, Peter fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Oh, surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything that's impure." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Then we move to verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how it is true that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message got sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John, that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God has already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Thanks to Peter, we can eat anything on the menu. So, you know, I can eat fish when I want to. I can eat whatever vegetables I want, or only vegetables if I want. I can eat fruit. I can drink the drinks that are there, because they've all been given to us by God. There are no restrictions on food. Verses 13 to 15, Peter said, "Then a voice told him, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' 'Surely not, Lord,' Peter replied. 'I've never eaten anything impure or unclean.' And the voice spoke to him a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.'" Now, having said this, you know, there are a few other things to bring into consideration in relationship to what we eat. My doctor tells me there are some things that I should eat more of than others. My doctor tells me I should drink some things more than others. In other words, water. And at least 100 ounces a day. Oh my goodness, how can you drink that much water? Well, it's possible. But we remember that God also talked about the reality that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as such, we make choices in how we eat. Not necessarily because one thing's good and another thing's bad, but because something is more beneficial to us in terms of our health than something else. And so we plan and order our eating accordingly. And Margaret is great at making menus that keep that in mind. And so I'm thankful for that. And maybe part of our health is a result of that, or our not health is a result of not doing that. I like my chips and my Coke at night, and that shows, doesn't it? Well, you know, we all have choices to make, but one of the things that Peter has done is offered us the opportunity to make those choices. God gives us the freedom. And this is one word I want us to hear today that we have sung about already and we're going to sing about again as we conclude this service. God gives us the freedom to make choices in relationship to what we eat. Now, God cares about what we think is good and bad in relationship to eating, but God cares even more about people. And the other part of this vision and this experience of Peter has to do with people and how we see people and relate to people. So the second part of this message is God's word to us about people. Verses 22 and following, Peter says, or the scripture says, "We've come from Cornelius, the centurion. While talking with Cornelius, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, 'You are well aware that it is against our law to associate or visit with anyone who is a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean.' Then Peter began to speak. 'I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all.'" Just as it is with food, so it is with our fellow man. As I was thinking of this, and thinking about our relationships, and thinking about interacting with people, I was reminded of a psychologist who I knew and who I worked with some when I was a bit younger. And one of the things that he talked about a lot in terms of relationships was he talked about people having tellies. And, you know, he explained this tellies by the fact that there are certain things that are part of people's personality that we just relate to well or not well. And so he used this word tellies as an example of being drawn to one person. So Mark and I get along great together. We like each other. You know, so we have good tellies between us. Glenna and I don't get along so well, so we have bad tellies. Well, you know, that was just a psychologist identifying relational kinds of interactions that are typical of us. I think one of the things that we need to understand in terms of relationships is that we are not automatically drawn to all people. That there are some relationships that just don't seem to work, and some relationships that are just wonderful. And so as we come to this piece in which Peter had this vision and has now gone to this house of Cornelius, he is moving because God told him to move. Not because there was a good feeling, not because of anything else, but God said, "Peter, I want you to go there. I want you to talk to these folks." And so Peter is doing that. Now, what I want us to do is think about a bit what it looks like to go to other people, to be in relationship with people who may be different than ourselves. So there are six things that I want to share this morning in relationship to that. Number one, purposefully plan experiences with people of other cultures and ethnicity. Okay, so first of all, purposely plan experiences with people of other cultures and ethnicity. Mission trip to other continents are ways to do that. Before COVID, that was happening a lot. You know, individual churches would plan trips to various parts of the world to do projects, and so there were these interactions. Actually, our denomination, the Brethren in Christ Church Missions, planned every year an event to go to a mission field somewhere. So there were opportunities to do that. So one of the ways that we can work at this interaction with people of different cultures and ethnicities are events that are already out there. Now, young people often do this. Older people can too. So it doesn't eliminate any of us. We all have that opportunity. Okay, a second thing that I would say in relationship to this is this. We have the privilege of traveling in America. You know, Ivan and Angela are here. Margaret and I go to Pennsylvania regularly. Dan travels all over the country with his trucking work. We are a people who go everywhere. Randall and Donna take their RV and go to Florida when it gets cold. And Donna's already wanting to go, and Dan and Randall's saying, the farm work's not done yet. But we travel, so we have the opportunity to travel. Dan is going this week to southern Texas, to the area where all of these immigrants are coming in. And Dan expressed to me the concern that he had in relationship to that, because he has a flatbed that has sides on it that you can't see into, you know, because they protect the cargo that he carries. And his concern was that he gets down there to this town where all of these immigrants are, that there may be some jump in there and he wouldn't know it, and he may be carrying them across the country somewhere. So we want to pray for Dan and this trip this week that he's having. But to say that, I would also say to us, we would have the privilege of driving to that town, getting out, sitting down, spending some time with those folks who are coming in. Now, it may be something you don't want to do, but I'm saying it's something we probably should do. It's one possibility. One of the other things that is available to us, very readily available, are college campuses. Kansas State University, Wichita State, they are both campuses that have lots of international students. One of the ways that we could interact with people from different cultures, different ethnicities, is to go to a college campus and sit and have lunch and visit with these folks. So that's number one, purposefully plan experiences with people of different cultures and ethnicity. The second thing then is purposefully prepare for interaction with other cultures. Purposefully prepare for interaction with other cultures. Learn all you can. Learn all you can about these other cultures before you go into their world. So, say we go to southern Texas, and we go and we want to sit down and visit with these folks and learn from them. One of the things that's difficult is that if we haven't already done some research, if we hadn't already done some preparation, you know, and go in there just totally cold, it would be difficult to begin conversations and interactions. Now, because of our media, because of the news, we get a perspective, okay? We have a perspective from the perspective of that news reporter that has gone in there. Oh, you know, forget that. Forget that. Do some research beyond just what we see in the news. When you're going to think about and learn about another culture, do some additional research that allows you to learn about those people that you hope to interact with. So, and then the other thing in terms of preparation is think about questions that help you learn and understand these folks. Think about questions that help you learn and understand, such as, okay, we talked about food. Oh, and that's an easy subject to talk about. What kinds of foods do you enjoy? Do you think you'll find that food here in America? Or what foods do you like in America that you didn't have in your culture? Or what foods do you in your dorm room prepare that you don't get in the cafeteria? So food would be one place to begin. Or family relationships. One of the things that we know about, you know, our Muslim families and friends is that their families don't operate the way that ours do. The place of women is very different within those cultures than ours. Think about questions that you can ask those people of other cultures and ethnicity that may help you understand those people better. Okay, a third thing then. Plan and anticipate appreciation for these people. Plan and anticipate that you will have an appreciation for these people. Begin by thinking the best. And then don't be afraid. Okay, all of these pieces fit together, don't they? Anticipate that you will appreciate these folks that you will visit with from other cultures. Unfortunately, our news media and our world has painted pictures of people of different ethnicities, pictures that typically don't necessarily bring warmth and joy to our hearts. Oftentimes, it's fear. Margaret grew up in Baltimore in the inner city. I grew up here in Abilene. Going into the inner city was very strange and very fearful because I'd heard stories, okay? I'm going to get mugged. Make sure I don't do this and don't do this and don't do this and make sure I do it this way and this way. Don't look at anybody because if you do, who knows what'll happen? So as we think about this, one of the things we need to do is anticipate that we will appreciate those people that we'll share with. And think the best. Think the best. Don't be afraid. Okay? And the fourth thing comes right on the heels of this. Understand that there is the good, the bad, and the ugly in every culture and group of people. Understand that there is the good, the bad, and the ugly in every group of people. Think about America. Think about just our white culture and people. It doesn't take long to realize, does it? Think about Abilene. Think about your street. On your own street, there's probably the good, the bad, and the ugly. We need to understand and realize that the good, the bad, and the ugly isn't just out there. The bad and the ugly isn't just out there, but there's also good. We need to understand and realize that it's here as well as everywhere else in our world. So we need to understand that. A fifth thing then is be prepared to share the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. What is it that we want here in America? What is it you want when you flip on the television and listen to the news? Do you want all the horror stories, the bad stuff? No, I don't. I want to hear some good news. We don't often hear it, but guess what? People everywhere want to hear good news. We want to hear good news. And of what? Of peace. Marcy's friend in Nigeria who was raped. It's not good news. That's not peace. Our world is filled with that reality, that truth. A lot of bad stuff. A lot of horrible stuff. People want to hear about peace. People want to know what it's like to have peace. Personal peace. Corporate peace. Peace in our world. Peace in our own communities. Peace of heart. One of the things we have that we can give is this good news of peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. People want to see peace come. It isn't going to happen. It isn't going to happen from worldly perspective. Only God can bring peace. Only Jesus Christ can bring peace to us as individuals and to our world. And we have the knowledge of that. We can share that. I am an ambassador of good news. When I go to interact with people of different cultures and ethnicity, I am an ambassador of good news. I'm an ambassador of peace. I want to share the possibility of peace. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. I'm not a citizen of China or Russia or Israel or Canada or South America or America only. I'm a citizen of God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is different than the kingdom of this world. God's kingdom is a place where there's peace. God's kingdom is a place where there's life and hope, where we can walk and know that we're safe, that we're cared for. And I would love to have you join me in God's kingdom. So go prepared to share the good news, and we have the good news. And then say to these folks who you're with, a little like was said in the scripture when the man came asking for alms and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And my friend, what I have to give you is the reality that in my experience, in my life, I have grown in my love for God, and I can't imagine life without that. And I also want you to know that I love you. Have you lately told someone of another culture or ethnicity that you love them? Let's go back to Peter, Acts 10, and his vision. He has this vision of all of these, this sheet coming down, and all of these animals and birds, etc., and God tells him to kill and eat. And God says, "Whatever I have made is pure and clean, so eat whatever you like." And Peter, by the way, I want you to go to the house of Cornelius. He's a Gentile and you're a Jew. God, don't you understand? We don't interact with those other people. God says, go, because all people are created by me and are important to me. We live in a world where that's the challenge. We live in a world where, as we who are Christ followers, know God's love, know his peace, and as we read the word of God and as he shows us what to do, we say, "Oh, wow, do I really have to do that?" God says, "Yeah, that's what I want." And so then we, with trepidation, go out there and we do what God calls us to do, and it is good. I'm going to close today with a hymn, "Glorious Freedom." I said we were going to talk about freedom, and this is it, "Glorious Freedom." In your hymnal, it is number 421. Oh, no, that's not it. It's number 440. Glorious freedom. Stand with me as we sing.